It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, we're devoting our entire program to the Americans with Disabilities Act, which was enacted by the U.S. Congress 25 years ago this month. 4 years prior to that, the National Council on Disability recommended enactment of an Americans with Disabilities Act and drafted its first version of the bill, which was introduced in the House and Senate in 1988. U.S. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa authored what became the final bill and was its chief sponsor in the Senate. He joins us now by phone from New York. Senator Harkin, honored to have you with us on this special occasion. Thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thanks for the opportunity, and it's a great celebration. 25 years, we've come a long way.
What led you to take up this cause and sponsor the legislation that became the ADA?
Well, first of all, I grew up with a brother of mine, now since deceased, who was deaf, and I saw how he'd been sort of shunted aside and discriminated against simply because he was deaf. And I remember him telling me one time, he said, you know, the only thing I know I can't do is hear. Now, there may be other things I can't do, but I know I can't hear, but there's a lot of things I can do. But because he was deaf, his opportunities were limited. And so that got me started. And then shortly after that, a nephew of mine was injured in an accident and became paraplegic. And then watching him struggle just to go through school and even to get his wheelchair into a building and attend classes, he couldn't even do it. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, something's got to be done about this. So at about that same time, I then got together with a lot of different disability groups, and they were working on this general overall civil rights bill for people with disabilities.
Were there any special challenges that needed to be overcome in sponsoring the legislation?
Well, yes, there were, but I just have to say this. The first person to introduce the Americans with Disabilities Act was not me. It was former Senator Lowell Weicker from Connecticut. I was his co-sponsor. I think the Republicans were in charge of the Senate at that time, and I was his chief co-sponsor. But then he was not reelected, so then it fell to me to take it on through and to author the final version of the Americans with Disabilities Act. But Lowell Weicker, to this day, remains one of my great heroes for starting it all out, at least in the United States Senate. But the big challenges we had, sometimes you have to be a member of a disability group to understand this, but the biggest challenge was getting all the different disability groups to agree on one comprehensive piece of legislation. One can understand that. For all this time, disability groups were struggling to make sure that their own individual needs were met, whether they were deaf or blind or paraplegic or cerebral palsy or intellectual disabilities like Down syndrome and others. And so because they're such a small minority, they all had their own interests, and you can understand that. So it was really a task to get them all to agree on one major piece of legislation. The other big hurdle was getting the business community to agree to this. And even though I've not been perhaps one of the poster senators for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce stepped forward and supported it, quite frankly. There's another offshoot called the National Federation of Independent Businesses, NFIB, that opposed it all the way. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce got on board and supported it. And then we had some good support from Republicans. President George H.W. Bush supported it. And others in his administration supported the bill. Bob Dole, of course, in the Senate, Ted Kennedy, others. So we had good cross-section of people supporting it.
Were you aiming to address policy changes or trying to overcome the stigmas associated with disabilities?
Yeah. By the way, I just forgot. One of the great supporters of this was Dick Thornburgh from your state, Pennsylvania.
Right.
It was Attorney General at that time. My gosh, he was just, and remains so today, a very strong supporter of the ADA. But I think, you know, there were so many stigmas attached. And to this day, 25 years later, people always say, what was the best thing about the ADA? Were curb cuts or accessible buses or video relay systems or a myriad of other things. I think the biggest benefit was starting to change attitudes. Now people being mainstreamed into society, what I hope is that attitudes have been changed in this way. that before people would see someone with a disability, and right away what would come to mind is what they can't do. They can't walk, they can't hear, they can't see, they can't do this, they can't do that. I hope that today, after all these years, more and more people maybe encounter someone with a disability, maybe it's a job inquiry or something like that, and they see that person and say, okay, what can you do? What are your abilities? And that's a change in attitude that I think is very profound that's happening in our country.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is former U.S. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, who authored what became the final bill, the version of the Americans with Disabilities Act that we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of this month. Senator Harkin, what did it take to win over the hearts and minds of your colleagues in Congress and enable the Americans with Disabilities Act to become the law of the land?
Well, it took time. This didn't just happen overnight, you know. But we had some markers along the way that proved out to be good, like it was first called the Education of All Handicapped Children's Act, which later became IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. More and more kids with disabilities were being mainstreamed in schools. We had Section 504, they called it, about people with disabilities in the federal workplace. So we had some markers kind of along the way. And but I would say probably what really got them over was just the solidarity that finally came about among all the disability groups. And that started winning people over. I remember the debates back in those days. Senator Helms, Jesse Helms, was saying, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to hire homosexuals, and we're going to have to have AIDS. How about people with AIDS and hospital workers and on? So we had all this flack thrown up that we had to overcome. But the disability groups really put it over the top. People like Justin Dart, who led so many efforts on this. But, Paul, I got to say, the one thing that really crystallized this was an event that took place on the Capitol steps before we brought the bill to the floor, because we still didn't have all the votes. We didn't know. And here's what happened. ADAPT, which is, kind of a provocative organization in disability, they got a bunch of wheelchairs, and they rolled them up to the Capitol steps, and they had all the press there, and they fell out of their wheelchairs and crawled up the Capitol steps.
Wow.
And the police were there and said, well, you can't do this. And this one young girl, she was like 9 years old, said, well, it's the only way I can get up. I can't walk. It's the only way I can get in the Capitol. And that hit the evening news and all over the country, and that just sort of crystallized it. I mean, just that one moment and people seeing them crawl up the Capitol steps of the U.S. Capitol, that just sort of closed the deal, as you might say.
You delivered part of your introduction speech in sign language. Talk about that moment, what it meant to you, what it meant to your brother who could not hear.
You know, this is interesting, Paul. I was just in the first Disability Pride Parade in New York City on Sunday with Mayor de Blasio, and someone came up to me and said, you know, they reminded me about that speech I gave in sign language and said, have you ever thought about it this way, Senator, that at that moment, everybody else was disabled except you? I never thought about it that way because I was speaking sign language. Nobody else understood me. So it was sort of like they were the ones that were disabled now, not me. I never thought about it that way. But when I gave that speech in sign language, I was thinking about my brother Frank and all the deaf community that I had become so closely associated with, now could fully understand what we were doing, and not through an interpreter, but directly. And it was a very poignant moment in time. No one had ever done that in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Bob Kerrey from Nebraska was sitting in the chair, and he always talks about how I started doing this. He didn't know what to do. And the court reporter who takes down all this stuff, he didn't know what to do either. And so there's this sort of odd pause in the U.S. Senate for some time. Of course, then I came back and gave it and spoke in English later on. But it was a quite a poignant moment in the history of the Senate.
Is that what it took for people to really understand the importance of the Americans with Disabilities Act, to put themselves in the place of people with disabilities?
Yeah, I think so. You know, most people don't do that. And, you know, most people don't get in a wheelchair and try to get across a curb or get in a bus or go someplace. Now, if you're a family and you have a child or a brother or sister or something like that that has a disability, then you become pretty acutely aware that they can't go everywhere you go. They can't do what you do. They can't go to ball games. They can't go to the theater. They can't travel. And so it was hard for most people who don't have someone who has a disability in their own family to really grasp this understanding. But as I said, as we debated it and as things went along and watching people crawl up the steps of the Capitol, I think that kind of brought it home to people about just what it is that we were seeking to do.
It's now 25 years later. Has the ADA met your expectations?
Well, has it met my expectations? In some ways, yes. There were four goals of the ADA: full participation, equal opportunity, independent living, and economic self-sufficiency. On the first two, full participation, equal opportunity, we've done pretty well. People with disabilities can now go to sports stadiums. They can go to the theaters. People with any mobility problems can get around. Buses are accessible, like I said. Widened doorways. We're getting more universal design of buildings and everything. So we've done all right. They're equal opportunity. More and more young people are now getting into competitive integrated employment. Young people with disabilities. Independent living. Pretty good. We had the Supreme Court decision in Olmstead in 1999, which said that a person has a constitutional right to the least restrictive environment. And so we've had the last 15 years, more and more people leaving nursing homes and institutions and living on their own with supportive services. Now, we need to do more. We haven't quite gotten all the way there yet, but we've done some. The biggest failure in our society in the last 25 years has been the last item, and that is employment of people with disabilities. Every time you see an unemployment figure like 5.5% unemployed, or among African Americans, it's 2-3 times that much, same with Latinos and Latinas. But think about it this way. Over 60% of adult Americans who have a disability who can work and want to work are not in the workforce. I'm telling you, it is a blot on our national character, and we have to do better. Now, again, as of the last few years, I would say 5-6 years, we're starting to do better. And there are some companies that are doing outstanding work in this area, like Walgreens, who has made it a policy that 10% of all their employees will be people with disabilities. Other companies have stepped up in doing it. So Walmart is now moving ahead aggressively in this area. So I think we're on the cusp right now, over the next 10, 15 years, of really seeing that last item fulfilled, and that is economic self-sufficiency. In other words, people with disabilities who are working not in sub-minimum wage dead-end jobs, but in competitive integrated employment. Anyway, that's my hope and my dream for the next 10 to 15 years for the ADA.
Former Iowa Senator Tom Harkin joining us by phone from New York to mark the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Senator Harkin, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, Paul, thank you, and thank you for supporting us and for getting the word out. Again, more and more people need to know that a person with a disability is not someone condemned to do nothing. People with disabilities can do a lot of things. They can be the best workers, the best neighbors. We want a fully integrated society where anyone with a disability can take their abilities to the maximum extent possible. And so thank you for your, again, being involved with this and letting the public know what we're trying to do.
It's a pleasure, and thank you again so much for joining us, Tom Harkin.
See you, Paul. Thanks.
Coming up,
both in disability community, in disability studies, around the world, in the United States, narrative is a big thing for us. We tell our stories in part because our stories are not a part of the larger research.
More of our special look at the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act on Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA.